This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Continue in Daf HaShavua. Tonight we're learning Masechta Chagiga, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. Okay. Says the Gemara, two lines from the bottom on Tezvav Amud Beis, of all the four who are Nechnas L'Pardes, Ben Zoyma, and Ben Azai, and Acher, the Gemara said the results were Ben Azai died, Ben Zoyma became disturbed, and Acher was katzatz benetiyos. Rabbi Kiva was the only one who emerged unscathed. Rabbi Kiva, Allah b'shalom v'yar b'shalom. He went in peace and he emerged in peace. Ba'alav ha'kosav ha'imer, and about him the pasuk says, Mashchini, God, draw me, acharecha nurutza, I will run after you. V'yaf Rabbi Akiva, bikshu malach yasher sodoichvai. And even Rabbi Akiva, who was able to emerge unscathed, the heavenly angels wanted to push him. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God said to them, Henichu lezakein zeh. Leave be this sage, Sharoi lehishtamish b'chvayde. He is fit to utilize my honor. Meaning, remember how he entered the paradise. He entered the paradise by reciting the name of God. He's fit to say the name of God. My darash. What did he expound? Now there are two pshatim in this. Rashi says, from how did Rabbi Kiva know where the Shechina was so as not to gaze directly at it? That's the question of my darash. The first question of Rashi is, how did Rabbi Kiva know exactly where to look and where not to look? Or Rashi says in the second shot, how is Rabbi Kiva able to protect himself and guard himself and not allow to happen to him what happened to Acher?
Didn't they say before they went inside that they were warned,
don't say when you get to the clear marble, water, water. Right? That's
so
Rabbi Kiva.
They were warned beforehand, so whoever...
True. But basically, what was Rabbi Kiva's like safety precaution? So to protect himself, that wouldn't happen to him what happened to the others. So we'll learn according to Rashi's first pshat, that how did he know where the Shechina was so as not to gaze directly at it? Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'asa me'rivavos kodesh, literally God came from his holy myriads, ois hu berivava shalai. There is a sign, a letter in his myriad. Basically, there was some kind of sign where the Shechina was, and Rabbi Kiva knew, don't gaze directly there. Rabbi Avo Amar, Dagul Mervava, he is prominent in his myriad, Dugmahu Mervava. There is a likeness in his myriad. Rashi explains, there is a recognizable matter that stands as a dugma, as an example, to show, this is what he did to me, and this is something which is recognizable. So too, his place is recognizable. Meaning, there was some kind of sign saying, you know, God is over here, don't gaze directly. Whatever this means. There's some kind of way to tell. Reish Lakish Amar, Hashem Tzavakos Shemai. The master of hosts is his name. Adoin Hu B'Tzvah Shalai. He is a master in his hosts. Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chiya Bar Abba, son named Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Beruach Hashem, that we know when Hashem appeared to Eliyahu, God was not found in the wind. V'yachar Ruach Rash, and after the wind came an earthquake, Loi Berash Hashem, God wasn't in the earthquake. V'yachar Harash Eish, and after the earthquake was fire, Loi Be'ish Hashem, God wasn't in the fire. V'yachar Ha'ish Koil D'mama, Daka, after the fire was a still voice. And v'hinei Hashem over, and then God passed by. So there are ways to tell where the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence is, similar to what occurred by Eliyahu, that God's presence was in a still voice. Okay, so now we're going to discuss. We mentioned earlier that Acher heard from behind the curtain that anyone could do tshuva except for Acher. So we're going to learn a Gemara that brings in this phenomenon of hearing things from behind the curtain. Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Shedim. Six things were said about demons. Now the Rambam says demons don't exist. However, most Rishonim Achronim say there is an actual reality of demons, and they're described as follows: Shlosh Kamalach Yashar, so Shlosh Kamnei Adam. There are three phenomenon that demons are like heavenly angels, and three, that they're like humans. Shloisha kamalachei hashareis, in three ways they're like angels. Yeshlehem kenafayim kamalachei hashareis, they have wings like angels. V'tasin misayif alam v'yatsayif kamalachei hashareis, they could fly from one end of the world to the other like heavenly angels. In other words, they could fly anywhere and live even in places where humans can't live. They could live in the Galapagos Islands, they could live in Antarctica, they could live in on volcanoes, you know, they could live even in uninhabited areas. And v'yoydin ma'asha asaliyas k'malachei hashareis, they know what the future holds like the heavenly angels. Says the Gemara, yoydin sagadai, do you think they know what the future is? That's impossible. Elo shoymin me'achorei apargud k'malachei hashareis, they hear from behind the curtain like the heavenly angels. What God is about to do is announced from behind the curtain. And they overhear that, but they don't really know what's going to be in the future. Ushleishu kivnei adam, and in three ways, they're like humans. Oichlin v'shoysin kivnei adam, they eat and drink like humans. Parin v'ravin kivnei adam, they're fruitful and they multiply like humans. Umesim kivnei adam, and they die like humans. Okay. Shisha dvarim nemru b'vnei adam, they say six things about people. Shloisha kamalachei hashareis, in three ways they're like heavenly angels. Shloisha kabahim, in three ways man is like an animal. Shloisha kamalachei hashareis, yesh lam das kamalachei hashareis, they have intelligence like the heavenly angels. Umahalchin b'kayma zakufa kamalachei hashareis, they walk erect and upright like an heavenly angel. Umasaprim b'loshin akos kamalachei hashareis, and they speak in Hebrew, or they have the capacity to speak in Hebrew like heavenly angels. Or the first language of man and the main language of man is Lashon HaKodesh. Shloisha kebehema, in three ways they're like animals. Oichlin b'shoisin kebehema, they eat and drink like animals. Ufarin v'ravin kebehema, they procreate like animals. Umaitzian re'i kebehema, and they produce excrement like animals. Okay. Now the Mishnah said, Kol hamistakel b'dal advarim, anyone who contemplates four things, rasu iloi shaloi bala ilam, it is fitting for him not to have come to the world. One who looks about, analyzes what's above, below the world, what's behind the world, and what was before the world. So it says in Gemara, Bishlama, mala, 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 mata, mala, achar, lachai. Bishlama, what's above, what's below, what's after the world exists. Very good, I understand why you shouldn't think about it. However, elo lefnim, but what existed before the world was created, mada hava hava. Whatever was, was. Meaning, what's wrong with thinking about what existed before the world was created? Whatever it was, it was. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Damri Tarvai, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, they both say, Masha l'melech basav adam. This is a parable to a king of flesh and blood, Sha'amar la'avodav, who says to his servants, Benu li palterin gedolim, build for me a palace, al ha'ashba, on a garbage heap. So they do, halchu banulai. So they go, they build it. Now, the king does not want to mention that his palace is on a garbage heap. Ein ritzon shel melech lahazkir shem ashba. So the question is, what's the analogy here? Just like a king doesn't want anyone to remember that the palace is built on a garbage heap, so too the God doesn't want anyone to remember what existed before the world was created. It wasn't a garbage dump before the world was created. It was nothing before the world was created. But it's not analogous. I mean, we're bringing a mashal to bring out a point.
That what's underneath a beautiful palace is there. So whatever happened beforehand doesn't play into account.
Right.
Here now.
But the Gemara seems to be saying that you're not supposed to think about what existed before the world was created. It's like a palace built on a garbage heap. Somehow what existed before the world was created is a garbage heap. How is it like a garbage heap? So the Mefarshim explain, it was nothing before the world was created, but if you're going to start contemplating it, you're going to come up with some all kinds of nonsense that will be comparable to a garbage heap. You're going to make what existed before the world was created into a garbage heap. Okay. Says the Gemara, Koshalei chas al kvod koinai, anyone who doesn't take pity on the honor of the Creator, rasoi lo yishloi bai la'olam, he's fit not to have come into the world. Maihi, what does this refer to? Rabbi Abba Omar, Rabbi Abba says, Zeh ha-mistakel b'keshas. What does it mean, someone who doesn't honor doesn't respect the honor of his creator? That is someone who gazes at a rainbow. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Ze ha'over avera b'seisar. One who violates a sin secretly.
How did we get into this?
Okay, because the Mishnah said that someone who doesn't have mercy on the honor of his creator, he's fit not to come into the world. He should not have come into the world.
Right.
That was the last statement of the Mishnah. So the question is, what does this refer to? What's an example of someone who doesn't have mercy on the honor of his creator? So the first opinion is someone who looks at a rainbow. What's wrong with that? Mistaka b'keshas. Dechsiv, because God's appearance is like a rainbow. That's why you're not to gaze intently at a rainbow. You could glance at it, but you can't gaze intently at it. It says Gemara, dechsiv kemare akashas, like the appearance of a rainbow. Ashar yia be'onan, that is in the clouds. Be'yom hageshem, on a rainy day. Kein mare hanoiga saviv. So too is the appearance and the brilliance of God around. Humara demos kvar Hashem, that is the image of the form of the honor of God. So since a rainbow reflects the majesty of God, you're now to gaze at it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Amar, what is someone who doesn't have mercy on the honor of the king? Zeho ivra avera b'seisar. This is someone who violates an avera secretly. Basically, similar to a ganav. What's worse, a ganav or a gazlan? A gazlan steals openly. Basically, he says, I don't care about anybody. But a ganav says, I care about people. I don't care about God. I'm going to steal secretly. So someone who does an avera secretly says, I don't want to do this avera in public because I'm embarrassed from people, but I'm not embarrassed from God. Basically, you're saying, you're pushing away the legs of the divine presence. Shenemar, koya amar Hashem. So says the Lord, Hashamayim kisi, the heavens are my throne, v'ha'aretz hadayim ragloi, and the earth is my footstool. So, but what this Gemara is saying is, better to violate an avera publicly than to violate an avera privately. When you violate an avera privately, you're saying, God isn't here. Do it publicly. Say, you don't care about anything. But to violate an avera specifically, privately, is problematic.
What does that have to do with the world being his?
Since the world is his footstool, so if you do an avera secretly, you're pushing God's feet out of the world. You're saying God's feet are... This world occupies, so to speak, the feet of God. But how can you do an avera here if God is here? No, I'm pushing his feet out of here. So anyone who does an avera secretly, it's like pushing out the feet of God.
Did we have this analogy before? Building the steps?
Yes, exactly, right? In other words, we had this idea that the world is God's footstool. And he has two thrones, one for him and one for his...
Build his stepstool first.
That was the machlokes, right? B'sham b'sol, what comes first, Shamayim or Aretz?
Right.
One of the arguments is, why would he build his footstool and then build the throne? Right, good. Fine. Says Gemara, Eini, this is not so that it's better to do an avera publicly. But Ve'amar Rabbi Allah Hazakin said, Imroya Adam Sheyitzrim is Gaber Olav. If a person sees his Yetzirah is prevailing over him, so what should you do? You see the Yetzirah is getting the better of you. So don't do the avera publicly. It's going to be a chal Hashem. Yelech lemakom shein makirin. I say, go to a place where they don't recognize you. The yobash chayrin and wear dark clothing. V'yisatev shchayrim and wrap yourself in black. V'yasa mashli bechafes. Do whatever your heart wants. Ba'al yichalo shem shemayim farhesya and do not desecrate the name of God openly.
You should still do it publicly.
Meaning, no. You
still
basically
do it publicly, but go somewhere else.
No, basically, what it's saying
it doesn't
is
say to go do it privately.
Yeah, go do it as privately as you can.
Publicly.
No. Do hide it as much as possible. Disguise yourself. Wear black. Go to somewhere where nobody knows who you are. Well, it's talking about an avera that it takes two to do the avera, right?
Right.
So go somewhere where nobody knows you, and do whatever you want. But basically, and don't defile God publicly. So we have a stira because Rabbi Yosef says it's if you do an avera secretly, you're pushing God away. It's better to do it publicly. And here it's saying it's better to do it privately. So the Gemara says, now the question is, what does it mean, v'yasa mashali v'chafetz? It's saying you should really do the Avera? Is it advising you to do the Avera? Let's see the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, loy kasha, hadamatzi kayif le'li yitzrei, hadaloy matzi kayif le'li yitzrei. Here we're talking about where you could force the Yetzirah. Here you can force the Yetzirah. If you could overcome the Yetzirah and you don't, then basically you're able to overcome your Yetzirah. You don't want to, then do it publicly. You can do it privately. You're basically saying that I could stop myself from doing the Avera, but I don't want to. I want to do the Avera anyway. So don't do it privately, because that's like saying God is not there. But if you're not able to overcome your Yetzirah, then hide it. Do it privately. If you're able to overcome the Yetzirah, it sounds like you should do it publicly. Now, that sounds like, when do we say you should do it privately? When you can't overcome your Yetzirah. Now, Rabbeinu Chananel says, is Rabbi La Hazakin say that if you're, it's mutter to do the Avera? He's saying like this, that we're talking about somebody who he feels the Yetzirah is prevailing over him. Not to do an Avera, to eat, to drink, to song, to get Hana. He feels like, you know, the Yetzirah wants him to go out and enjoy life to its fullest. And he's afraid maybe he'll become so indulgent in it, he's going to come to do an Avera. So we advise him, wear black clothing. This will break your Yetzirah. Because someone who's a stranger, his heart is broken. And once he does this, he'll be coming on of. And he won't do the Avera. When we say Yasama Shaliba Chafetz, we mean like this. Wear black clothing and eat as much as you want, drink as much as you want. It won't bring you to sin. But Rabbi Allah would never say, well, if you can't overcome the Yetzirah, well, put on black clothing and do whatever you want. Because Chas V'Shalom, he would never say to do that. The Rabbeinu Chananel says, Avalavra Avera, Oyafil Shtias Yain B'minei Zemer, that's Asar. But Tosfos says, no. Rabbi Allah is saying to do it. We're not saying you're allowed to do it, but we're talking to somebody who can't help it. The Lashon of Yasa Mashali V'Chafetz says, Legamri, Tosfos says. Better to do your will secretly than to do it openly. Okay. The Gemara continues. Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Nachmeni, Rav Yehuda, the son of Nachmeni, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Nachmeni mitorgamane d'Reish Lakish. Excuse me, Darash, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Nachmeni mitorgamane d'Reish Lakish. He darshened as follows. Kol ha'mistakel b'gimel dvarim, anyone who contemplates these three things, einav kehais, his eyes will dim. B'keshas, anyone who contemplates a rainbow. Uvenasi, someone who contemplates and gazes, someone who gazes at the Nasi, uvekayhanim, and the priests. What does this mean? Bekeshas tachsiv, kamare hakeshas asher ba'anan, like the image of a rainbow that's in a cloud. B'yayim hageshana, on a rainy day, hu maradvas kvayd Hashem, is the image of the glory of God. Benasi, what about the leader of the Jewish people, tachsiv? Benasata mehoid cha'olav, God put His glory on him. So if you're going to gaze at him, it's going to dim your eyesight because the glory of God is on him. Hamistakel b'kayanim, and what does it mean, someone who gazes at the kayanim? That is, bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, when the temple was standing. Shehayu oimdim al duchanan, they were standing on the duchen, umavarchin es Yisrael b'shem hamafayrash. They were standing on the duchen, and they would be mavarech klal Yisrael with the shem hamafayrash. So therefore the name of God was on their knuckles, and therefore, you are not to stare at their hands. Okay. Darash Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Nachmeni mitorgamane d'Reish Lakish. Again, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Nachmeni, the mitorgamane d'Reish Lakish darshened. Ma'idach siv, what does the pasuk mean in Micha? Al ta'aminu b'reya. Do not believe the friend. Al tivtuchu ba'alof. Don't trust the official. What does that mean? If the evil inclination says to you, Chatoi sin, B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moichel, and God will forgive you. The Yitzhara says, you know, do an Avera, and God will forgive you. Al Tamin, don't believe him. Shenemar Al Tamin Berea. It says, don't believe the friend. Now, if it meant only a friend, it would have spelled Rea, Reish Yod Ayin. The fact that it's spelled Reish Ayin, it can be read, don't believe the bad one. Ve'in Ra, Reish Ayin is only Yetzer Hara, Shenemar Ki Yetzer Leva Adam Ra. The inclination of the heart of man is bad. And what does it mean? Al Tivtechu Ve Aluf, don't trust the official. Don't trust God, who's the main official, that he's going to be Meichel you. That's what it means, don't trust him.
Maybe he won't.
Because he's not going to be Meichel you. If you do an Avera, the Yetzer Hara says, do an Avera and God will be Meichel you. Don't believe that. You're not, God's not Meichel you if you do the Avera because you think, oh, I'll do the Avera and he'll be Meichel.
Is that why Acher was spoken to beyond the curtain? Because he did an Avera that was...
It's similar to that, but Acher didn't do the Avera on condition that God would be Meichel. He did the Avera because he didn't care.
Prior to that?
So the Gemara mentions many of the causes of what happened to Acher. I don't know if that this is specifically one of them. Here we're saying, don't do an Avera, trusting God will forgive you. Ve'ein aluf el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say the chief means God. Shenemar aluf ne'uri ata. The chief, you are the chief, my chief from youth. So now a person will say, well, if I do an Avera, who will know that I do an Avera? Let's say I do an Avera in the secrecy of my house. Who's going to know? No one's watching. I'll burn the film, whatever camera. Nobody's looking. I'll close the shades and do an Avera. Who would ever know? Says Gemara, Shema Toimer, lest the person say, me, may it be who will testify against me. Avnei Beisoi, the stones of your house, V'koyreis Beisoi Shaladim, and the beams of your house. Hey, me'idim boy, they will testify against you. Shenemar ki even mikir tizak. A stone will cry out from the wall. Ukfis me'etz ya'anena. And a chip will testify from the beam. Meaning, your walls will testify against you. Now, what does that mean? Your walls can't see. So Beis Halevi explains that even inanimate objects are affected and either elevated or downgraded by the way we behave in their presence. That's why in the times of Noach, the animals also were affected for bad. Not because they learned from our ways, but because everything in this world is secondary to man. So if man lowers himself, then if we lower ourselves, it's going to be noticeable on the table that we were lowered. If we elevate ourselves, the table is elevated. So what does it mean the walls will testify against us? It will be noticeable in the walls what our actions were. The sages say, Nishmasa shalada me'idabai. A person's soul will testify against him. Shenemar, mishaycheves chekecha, from that which lies in your lap, meaning your soul, shmar pischei picha, guard your mouth. Ezo hidavar shaycheves b'cheke shaladam, what is something that lies in a person's lap? Heveyoymer, we would say, zu neshama, that's the soul. Rav Zrika Amar, Shnei Malachi Ashares, Hamalavin Oisai, the two heavenly angels that accompany a person, Hein Me'idin Bai, they testify against him. Shenemar, Ki Malach of Yitzavalach, because his angels will command you, L'shmarcha B'chol Derechecha, to guard you in all your ways. So Rav Zrika says the two heavenly angels that escort a person, they will testify against him. Like it says, he will command his angels to guard you in all your ways. It is the limbs of man that testify against him. Shenemar, you limbs, you are my witnesses, says God, and I'm God. Okay, let's just do the Mishnah, and then we'll continue perhaps Thursday night. Okay. Says the Holy Mishnah, Yoisi ben Yoyezer oimer, Shaloi lismach. Yoisi ben Yoyezer says, don't do smicha. Now this is talking about the Karban Chagiga on Yom Tov. Typically, Karbanos need smicha. You have to rest all your strength on the animal. The only thing is you're not allowed to ride on an animal on Yom Tov, and you can't utilize an animal on Yom Tov. And doing smicha is like using an animal. It's like riding on an animal. So technically, it's an Issur Drabbanan. But if that's the only way to bring a Karban, you got to do it anyway. The Chachamim will override their decree. However, we're going to see some Tanoim hold, you could have done it Erev Yom Tov. You don't have to do smicha, samach, l'shchita. So, Yosi ben Yehezer says, you don't do smicha on Yom Tov. Yosi ben Yochanan Omer, l'smach, you do it. We're going to see in the end of the Mishnah. The first Tana mentioned, we know in the Pirkei Avot you have this concept of zugais. Zugais were, the leader of the Jewish people, were the Nasi and the Av Beis Din. And the first Tana mentioned is the Nasi, the second one is the Av Beis Din, and they were a pair. Yehoshua ben Prachya Oimer, Shaloi Lismach. Yehoshua ben Prachya says, don't do smicha. Nitai Har Beili Oimer Lismach. Nitai Har Beili says, you do. Yehuda ben Tabe Oimer, Shaloi Lismach. Shimon ben Shetach Oimer, Lismach. Now we're going to switch that the first Tana mentioned says, you do smicha. Shmaya Oimer Lismach. Shmaya says, do smicha. Avtalion Oimer, Shaloi Lismach. I just want to point out, Tosfos quotes Yushalmi, the second to last Tosfos on the page, that this was the very first machlokes in Klal Yisrael. The first machlokes ever was, do you do smicha on Yom Tov? Now, Shammai and Hillel got up and they made four more machlokes in. Now the question is, that Tosfos asks, is they already argued in the times of Shaul on the din of getting married with a loan and a pruta. So Tosfos says, no, maybe since Shaul and his Beis Din, they held one way, and no one argued on them except for David, that wasn't a real machlokes, because you didn't have really, it was the entire Sanhedrin and Shaul against David, that was not classified as a real bona fide machlokes. So therefore, the first real machlokes in Klal Yisrael is what? Whether you do smicha on Yom Tov.
That's why it quotes like a zillion.
Yeah. Now, Hillel u'Menachem lo nechleko. When Hillel was the Nasi, the Av Beis Din was Menachem, and they didn't argue. Yatza Menachem, when Menachem left, nechna Shammai, Shammai came. Shammai oimer shaloi l'smeich, Hillel oimer l'smeich. Now what's interesting is, here we're breaking the rule, because Shammai was the Av Beis Din and Hillel was the Nasi. So Tosfos says, the first three zugais, the Nasi said loi l'smeich, and the Av Beis Din said l'smeich. And then we go to Shmaya, who said l'smeich, he was the Nasi, and Avtalion is loi l'smeich. So now, since everyone knows Hillel was the Av Beis Din, and Shmaya and Shammai was the, since everyone knows Hillel was the Nasi and Shammai was the Av Beis Din, it's okay that we put Hillel second, because we want to parallel the pattern of the Mishnah of first saying shaloi l'smeich and then saying l'smeich. Anyway, the Mishnah concludes, Harishonim.
Switch their order.
What?
Switch their order.
Until Hillel and Shammai, the first one mentioned is Nasi, and the second one mentioned is Av Beis Din. The reason by Hillel, they switched it, and they put the Av Beis Din first, is since everyone knew Hillel was the Nasi, it was okay. They preferred to have the Loi L'smech go before the L'smech. Says in the Gemara, Harishonim Hayu Nasiim. The first ones mentioned in the Mishnah were the Nasi. Ushniyim lohem Av Beis Din. And the second one mentioned is the Av Beis Din. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Pick it up next time.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.